Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, we are still looking at Colossians 1:21 and 22. Which deals about the doctrine of reconciliation as it applies to human beings, and particularly to the believers in the church at Colossae to whom Paul is writing. But what he says that applies certainly to them also applies to all Christians, all believers. And we have learned in regard to reconciliation that there are three questions that if we ask them of this text will yield a wonderful portrait of salvation, especially as it is shaped by that word reconciliation. The first question is what? What's involved in this doctrine of reconciliation? The answer is you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Reconciliation involves removing the barrier that has separated men from God, separated those that God created in his image, sinless in the beginning, but who have now been estranged from him, alienated from him, acting wickedly toward him, and therefore separated from him. But God wants to effect, God is determined to effect a reconciliation. God doesn't want to do something that he cannot do. God doesn't want to do something that he would love to do, but he will be frustrated in his trying to do. God has determined that he is going to reconcile sinners to himself. That is an amazing thing. Why didn't he just say, okay, you have gone your own way, you have alienated yourself from me, I will just allow you to go the way that you have chosen, and I'll see you in hell, eternal damnation. But God is determined to reconcile hell-deserving sinners unto himself. That's the what of the doctrine of reconciliation. God reconciling hell-deserving wicked sinners back to himself. Wonderful, wonderful doctrine. But the second question is how? How is this possible? And the answer to that also in the text is in the body of his flesh through death. It is possible by the incarnation of the Son of God and his substitutionary death upon the cross of Calvary. Which brings us then to the third question, which is why? Why would God do such a thing? And the answer also in the text is to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And that's where we are. Dealing with that last one, the why. On this Tuesday, February 2nd, as you join us around the Word of God, and as some of you help us financially to proclaim God's Word on this station. Why? To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. And this tells us that what God is doing is restoring dirty, vile, wretched, wicked sinners to a holy, blameless, and above reproach condition. He is restoring sinners to sinlessness. He's taking sinners and making them into saints. Some people think of saints as being a certain category of Christians who are especially good, especially holy. But the Bible tells us that all of God's children are saints. You say, well, we don't all act very saintly. That's true. But God isn't finished with us yet. But all of God's children are going to end up being holy, blameless, and above reproach. That's what he's doing. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. A perfect condition. That's where we're headed. I'm not there yet. You're not there yet. And the fact that we're not there does trouble us, doesn't it? If it doesn't, there's something wrong with you. If it doesn't, it can be legitimately questioned whether you have truly been born again. Because a true born-again child of God has this desire to be holy, blameless, above reproach. And yet, as long as we're in this world, we don't reach that status. And it frustrates us to some degree because we have this desire, we have this longing, we want to be sinless, we want to be holy, we want to be blameless. We don't want to disappoint the one who redeemed us at such great price. We don't want to continue sinning against the one who gave us life. And so when we do, it bothers us. And this causes all kinds of problems with Christians, particularly those who don't fully understand what's going on, don't understand the nature of progressive sanctification, and when the final conclusion of that process will take place in heaven, not on earth. And so we get all kinds of erroneous ideas, some wrong doctrines that teach a possible sinless perfection now, which is not what the Bible teaches. In fact, it insistently teaches the opposite. And all kinds of things that people struggle with. If I'm a Christian, why am I still struggling with sin? If I'm a Christian, why am I not perfect or more closely to perfection? Well, the answer is because you are still in the flesh on earth and have not yet arrived in heaven. But this is what God is doing, conforming us to be like Christ. It's a wonderful thing. This perfect condition that God is crafting for every one of his children. That's what he's doing. He's taking sons and daughters of Adam who have been alienated from him, and he is bringing us back to him. And that's more than just writing our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is making us holy, blameless, and above reproach so that we can be in his presence. You think a holy God is going to be surrounded by sinful people in heaven? Nope. In that day, we'll be perfect, holy, blameless, and above reproach. No legitimate charge that can be brought against us. We will be pronounced innocent. There will be no further charges brought against us. Who, we read in Romans 8:33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Those whom God has justified, pronounced righteous by the righteousness of Christ imputed to their account, will have no charges brought against them, but will one day actually be as perfect as Jesus. We're not now. Our legal debt has been satisfied by his perfect righteousness imputed to our account, and he who bore our penalty for us, so that now we can be justified and enjoy all the benefits of justification. But the day is coming when we'll be entirely sanctified and glorified, when our condition in heaven is going to be one of sinless perfection. That's what he's doing. That's what reconciliation is doing. Reconciliation is bringing us back to God and making us so that we can come into the presence of a thrice holy God who dwells in unapproachable light. Yes, indeed, he is making us holy, without blemish, and above reproach in his sight. But we need to keep in mind, as I've already stated, but I'll point it out here, We need to keep in mind that this perfect condition involves a future appointment, because it goes on to say, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. To present you in his sight. This speaks of a future presentation and a future encounter. To present you, when? At the second coming of Christ. That's when our full and final sanctification will be complete. That's when our body will be glorified, as well as our soul that will be holy when we arrive in heaven 1 minute, 1 second after death. But at the second coming of Christ and at the final day of judgment, Christ is going to present us to the Father as holy, blameless, and above reproach. And he's going to do so in his sight, that is, in his presence, face to face with Almighty God, and without blemish and unafraid. That's an incredible thought. Every recorded encounter in the Bible of a man with God resulted in the man trembling before God, afraid, because he became aware of his sinful condition. Like Isaiah, who had that vision of God in Isaiah chapter 6, and saw the Lord in his holy temple. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And he was undone. He recognized himself to be a man of unclean lips, living amongst a people of unclean lips. Who was this? Isaiah, a prophet of God. We would say one of, if not the best, Christian in his day. Though, of course, Christian is not the proper term, but you understand what I'm saying. But he understood himself to be guilty, vile, and helpless. And he felt that very strongly when he got a glimpse of the holiness of God. When Peter got a glimpse of the holiness of Jesus Christ, of his majesty and who he truly was, he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." When John got a glimpse of the holiness of God in the book of Revelation, he fell down at his feet as though dead. In fact, in that case, the one I'm thinking of now, even just a holy angel from the presence of God caused that effect upon John. And the angel had to pick him up. Don't fall down at my feet. Don't worship me. I'm not God. Reserve worship for God. But this is what is coming for the redeemed children of God. To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. That personal encounter with God Almighty, and to be able to do so without sin, without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing, holy, blameless, and above reproach, to be without blemish, and in the presence of a thrice holy God who dwells in unapproachable light, but we will approach him, and we will be perfect, sinless, spotless, and unafraid. And so the songwriter had it right. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When in rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. In that day, we will be presented holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. If you are a redeemed child of God, that's what's coming for you. If you are not, then this is what you need, and I urge you, go to Christ. Acknowledge your need. Tell him your guilt. Tell him your sin. Tell him your helplessness, and cast yourself upon his mercy and his saving grace. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.